The next case on the calendar is City of Toledo versus Paul Tellings. Representing the City of Toledo, the appellant is Mr. Adam Lout.
Good morning. If it'll please the court, I am Adam Lout, as you just indicated, and I am representing the City of Toledo today. The City of Toledo is going to, with the court's indulgence, split time with amicus state of Ohio. Ideally, we're going to try to shoot for about half and half. We'll see how that works out. We'd reserve a minute for rebuttal. As the court's undoubtedly aware from reading the briefs, in 1999, the City of Toledo, through an exercise of its police powers, adopted an ordinance regulating the ownership of pit bulls within the city limits. This ordinance was, the purpose of the ordinance, according to the legislative history, involved a few matters. One was the concern over vicious dogs and the potential to harm persons and other animals. Another concern is the use of pit bulls for dog fights. It was the experience of the City of Toledo and testimony at the trial that predominantly pit bulls are used in this nefarious sport of dog and illegal sport of dog fighting. It was out of concern for this and for the safety of its citizens that the city passed its ordinance. A few years after the ordinance was passed, Mr. Tellings, the appellee, was charged with violating the ordinance in that he had more than one pit bull. The city ordinance restricted ownership to one pit bull on the theory that persons engaged in dog fighting may own more than one.
Was there an allegation that Mr. Telling was involved in dog fighting?
No, there was no allegation that Mr. Tellings was involved in dog fighting.
So these were household pets?
Yes, that would be, I think, the undisputed. At any rate, Mr. Tellings filed motions with the Toledo Municipal Court on the challenging the constitutionality of both the city ordinance and state statutes defining pit bulls as a vicious species. The challenge were essentially of due process nature, procedural and substantive due process, as well as equal protection. The Toledo Municipal Court heard a great deal of evidence from both sides in form of expert testimony and other witnesses, and ultimately ruled against the appellee's motion. To this, the appellee took an appeal to the 6th District. The 6th District Court of Appeals, in a 2-1 opinion, ruled against the constitutionality of both the ordinance and the statutes, finding that there violation of procedural due process in that regard, relying on this court's then recent pronouncement in Cowan. It also found that substantive due process had been violated, and connected to that, equal protection on the theory that there was no rational basis for the city's to support the city's ordinance. Finally, though the court acknowledged that it was technically moot, based on its rulings on the substantive due process, procedural due process, and equal protection arguments, it found that the definition of pit bulls to be vague as contained in the state statute and adopted in the Toledo ordinance. The City of Toledo is here today urging reversal on the basis that the 6th District Court of Appeals was wrong in making these findings. I guess in order of the way the Court of Appeals decided it, the procedural due process, obviously, they based that on the opinion in Cowan. This case is much different than Cowan. As this court will recall, in Cowan it involved a species of dogs that was not actually addressed in the statute. Pit bull, unlike other.
So this case, in your view, really focuses on the third.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're accepting Cowan, and you want to focus on the pit bull definition as
Yes, certainly, Your Honor. While the city disagrees respectfully with Cowan, it's not necessary to overrule Cowan to rule for the city in this case, because on the third tier of the dog definition in the state statute, it makes a it establishes a prima facie showing of viciousness if the dog belongs to the breed commonly known as pit bull.
I was wondering, this different thought, maybe it's due to my background, how does one become a breeder of this breed if one can only own one dog?
Well, I suppose breeders would not be able to breed pit bulls in the city of Toledo in light of this ordinance. Okay. Because Cowan is certainly distinguishable, I think the majority in this court, as you know better than I, found a problem with the unfettered discretion of a law enforcement officer to be able to declare any breed, be it a Chihuahua, a Collie, or a German Shepherd, to be vicious without giving notice and an opportunity to be heard. In this case, the similar concern shouldn't exist because the state law clearly defines pit bull as a prima facie viciousness. If a person owns a pit bull, they know that they may be subject to the statute and ordinance in question. In fact,
so the matter for us then is to determine whether the legislation, if there's a rational basis for that legislation.
Yes, Your Honor.
What is the evidence in the record on that subject?
The ordinance came to the trial court with a strong presumption of constitutionality. There is no dispute. I think that all the evidence before the trial court, it's fair to characterize it as involves the characteristics unique to the species, but there was really no evidence in the record that I could find that ever disputed the fact that pit bulls are used in dog fighting. In fact, some witnesses, I believe a Mr. Wright, testified that in his experience with the Ohio Dog Fighting Task Force, all the dogs that he saw confiscated that have been involved in dog fighting were, in fact, pit bulls.
But counsel, you can say that maybe all fighting dogs are pit bulls, but you can't say that all pit bulls are fighting dogs.
No, we cannot do that.
And I think the evidence, and even the trial court found, that there are some very lovable pit bulls that are family pets, that are brought up with children and in an environment where they don't bite or snarl or cause any of the problems that are characteristic of the first three definitions of a vicious dog under state statute.
Well, it's certainly possible that some innocent behavior can be affected by the Toledo ordinance. The evidence at trial also suggested things like the fact that drug dealers or police in safety forces during their performance of their duties have had to, for instance, discharge firearms more often in cases where there's pit bulls and for all other reasons where such activity was necessary by the safety forces. So in addition to the concern over dog fighting, there was some general feeling by the legislature, both the state and the city, that there is a danger inherent in this species.
Judge Scow, in the Court of Appeals opinion, went through or reviewed what he said was a considerable amount of evidence that it's somewhat difficult or impossible to identify exactly what is a pit bull. And if that's the case, isn't that problematic then for the statute? If it's impossible to identify, that would imply that a pit bull is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, the argument there, of course, is one of vagueness, which this court has ruled upon previously, as recently as 1991, with both State versus Anderson and State versus Ferguson. Other courts have reached similar results that the term pit bull is readily capable of definition. Additionally, there's a protection from the due process standpoint in the fact that the prosecutor would nevertheless still have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that the dog, in fact, was a pit bull. In this case, of course, because Mr. Tellings pled no contest, that particular part of the trial was never reached.
So, getting back to the state's definition, revised code 955.11, and Toledo's use of this statute, in Toledo, you're only allowed one vicious dog.
Yes.
Okay, so you can have one vicious dog, which is, according to the first criteria, that has killed or caused injury to a person. Okay, let me finish.
Okay.
But you can't have one vicious dog who happens to be a pit bull that has never even snarled at someone.
Well, I think I probably misunderstood your question. I don't think that that the possession of one dog that's killed somebody is contemplated by the Toledo ordinance.
Well, this is the I'm reading the definition of the Ohio Revised Code, and it is incorporated and used in the Toledo ordinance. So I'm not making these words up here.
Okay. Well, then I assume that. That perhaps your interpretation is correct. That if you could conceivably have a situation where a person had a pit bull that was not vicious, and he would be covered under this law the same as a person who had a different type of dog that was in fact vicious.
So it's the overbreadth question, I think, that is concerning me. The idea is, as was expressed earlier, that we have a classification here of an entire breed which may or may not include aspects of viciousness. How do you justify the manner in which an entire breed has been singled out?
Well, because it is rationally related to the legitimate government purpose here. The findings of the legislature, both in the state of Ohio and at the Toledo level at the city council, are such that it was found necessary to accomplish its goals was to single out pit bulls because of their particular notoriety, their propensity to for viciousness, and the fact that they are overwhelmingly the dog of choice in dog fighting.
But isn't it, you keep going back to the characteristics of this dog, and from the evidence that we've read here and the analysis that's in the appellate decision here, it's more the way these dogs are trained and kept and encouraged, nurtured to be this way by their owners. And it's not where the dogs themselves are inherently vicious. It's just that they have characteristics that, if encouraged and nurtured in that direction, they could end up being successful drug dogs or successful fighting dogs, but they just as likely, if not owned by an owner that wanted that result, could be successful family pets.
And that depends on a weighing of the evidence that was in this case. There certainly was some reasonable debate as to the inherent characteristics of the pit bull as a breed.
Wasn't there also testimony that pit bulls are used, by the military at certain points? Trained to be used in for very legitimate law-abiding reasons.
Certainly, and of course, if it was a law enforcement dog, it wouldn't be covered by the statute or the ordinances. But yes, I believe there was evidence to that effect.
Counsel, you've referred to a number of things that you say pit bulls are known for. And I would have to tell you, I would be very respectful of a pit bull, as I would an Akita or a German Shepherd or a number of other, a Doberman Pinscher or a Rottweiler. Any of those dogs, you want to make sure you know the dog before you approach. But that can be true of a Cocker Spaniel as well. Judge Scow goes into a great deal of detail about the actual evidence, and his summary is, and maybe that's an incorrect summary of the evidence, there were a lot of people testified in this case, and his summary is that much of what we think we know about to pit bulls turns out to be myth, and that the testimony was, just as Justice O'Connor has indicated, unless they're trained to be vicious, they aren't.
Well, the testimony was in dispute. It was debatable, and in this court.
So you think Judge Scow did not give a fair interpretation of the and summary of the evidence?
I think he gave a fair interpretation, but there was still testimony in going the other way, saying that unlike the Akita or the German Shepherd, that these are predominantly, these are ones that law enforcement comes across frequently. There was testimony to the effect that this was causing the discharge of the firearms. There's testimony that this was the primary dog confiscated for dog fightings. In fact, it was the only one, I think the testimony indicated. If there is a debate over it, if a fair debate, a reasonable debate, then it's rationally related to the goal here. I think that Judge Scow, who I respect tremendously, perhaps unintentionally weighed the evidence and second guessed the legislature here. If there the court should have deferred to the legislature because it is rationally related to a legitimate goal, and it is a matter that is not in and of itself unconstitutional. There is a rational relationship here.
Okay. Your red light's on, so we'll let you sit down, and we'll give you even though your time's up, a minute to respond. You want to take that in rebuttal?
May please the court. My name is Sal Zindorf.
Mr. Zindorf, you know the trial court had 4 days of hearing on this?
5 days, Your
Honor. 5 days, all right, and made findings of fact or made a determination. Why shouldn't the Court of Appeals defer to the findings of the trial court?
Actually, Your Honor, the trial court made findings interpreting the facts not totally differently. The trial court found that pit bulls as a breed are not dangerous, but some people use pit bulls a certain way for crime or for dog fighting, and that may pose a danger. But the breed itself is not dangerous, and if properly socialized, that dog is no more dangerous. Also, the trial court found and was very interested in a lot of the testimony as to the musculature of the jaw, that the pit bulls were no stronger than any other dog with similar size, and there were many misconceptions of the pit bull that were actually dispelled. But you're right, Your Honor, that there were findings, but we don't feel that they were different findings. Judge Scow looked at the evidence and felt it should have drawn a different conclusion. We don't feel the findings were actually different. But there are many misconceptions. Also, this court in Cowan, when it ruled on the section 955.11A4A, did not restrict it to just the A portion for vicious actions. It appears to have also encompassed section number 3 in that for a law to be valid, it has to have a rational basis. It has to, obviously the purpose of the legislatures was to protect the public, which is totally permissible and should be. And the court and the legislature has a right to restrict dogs. However, the pit bull is not in itself a dangerous breed. That was even found by Judge Gorman, and that there were many misconceptions. This case involved a lot of scientific testimony that was not given in any other case that we know of in the state of Ohio. We had experts from all over the country that came down and tried to dispel certain myths about the dog being able to bite with 2,000 pounds pressure. Dr. Brisbane said it's impossible to measure the pressure and that the dog cannot bite with any more pressure than any
counsel,
other.
Counsel, going the other way, what I recall reading, at least in Judge Gow's opinion, is there was testimony that while they may not be able to pinch down on you any more so than, you know, a number of other breeds, they do have a tendency to hang on a lot longer. And so that also represents a concern. So there were some things to be feared about a pit bull. The city's argument seems to focus on the characteristics of the owners and the uses to which they put the dogs rather than the dog. And I assume you do not dispute that the universe of dogs employed in dog fighting seems to be exclusively pit bull.
We don't dispute that, Your Honor. What we believe is it's really a problem of.
Do you also not dispute that safety forces discharge their firearms with a much higher degree when there is a pit bull present? Now, the city doesn't explain that. It may be misplaced apprehension on the part of the peace officer that the dog is a threat to the officer and will make securing the scene or the potential person to be questioned or taken in. But that again would be a legitimate concern, would it not?
We agree it is a legitimate concern. It's the procedure as to how do you eliminate people from fighting dogs. If they didn't fight a pit bull, would they fight a similar size dog, another dog? Or would they use them for crime? We feel it's more of what the owner does versus the actual breed. The breed itself is not more dangerous. They do have the gameness, you're correct, as to they would hold on more, which is good in many aspects in the military and police enforcement or search and rescue is a very good trait. In dog fighting, it's a good trait, but bad for anybody else. But we don't argue. We feel that the gist of everything is that it's really a problem with the owner and not with the breed of dog, and that if there were no more pit bulls, whether they would pick on another breed and that would be used to be, for fighting or for crime. Also, there is a problem with identification of the dogs. There are many different types of, or many pit bulls, many pit bull mixes. If the dog warden identifies them as a pit bull, then the people are subject to criminal prosecution. And there really is no, based on this law, no what we feel good identification of what a pit bull is, or there's no real good way to fight the identification. Also, the prima facie presumption that these dogs are vicious, it's extremely difficult in many cases to fight it, such as in State versus Browning. The dogs were friendly house pets, the pit bulls, but they still lost at trial because it's very difficult to prove that your dog is not vicious, depending on the standards that one court may impose versus another court.
Counsel, I'm trying to distinguish between a rational basis that is based on a public policy decision by the legislature versus a true unconstitutional argument. And I liken this to alcohol. Alcohol inherently is not considered illegal. And it's the owner's use of alcohol that's considered illegal. And the state has set a policy decision that a certain level is violating the law, although there are a lot of people that can drink more than that and be completely competent in driving a car and not have impaired driving. Here we have a dog that on one hand can be a very good family pet, but there is clear evidence in the record, and the trial court made findings that this dog is also used in a way that becomes a threat to safety, to children, to the police, frequently used by persons like drug dealers. And so in an attempt to control the misuse of the product, the dog, which is property, it's not got rights of its own, the state has set a policy that tries to control the abuse of that product. And how is that different from the control of alcohol when, yes, there are people that can use alcohol and be perfectly fine and friendly and happy and never cross the center line?
Well, Your Honor, the way we look at it is that we feel that the alcohol, the legislature can set a certain standard to say that we set a 0.08, even though some people may be able to hold more alcohol than others. Some people have, are obviously able to, certain groups may be able to, possibly men can maybe hold alcohol better than women, but when you talk about dogs, the dog itself, the testimony was fairly straightforward, fairly clear-cut, that the dog itself, if it's socialized, it's not dangerous. If you don't socialize that dog with any dog, such as any person, anybody can abuse alcohol, if you don't socialize the dog or treat it as a junkyard dog or treat it to
And for those type of dogs, we have the part of the statute that finds it to be vicious if it meets A, B, C, and then you have to do the restriction and the insurance. On pit bulls, the legislature has made a public policy decision that enough pit bulls are abused and misused to create a public policy concern for safety. And how is that different than alcohol? I mean, they regulate how you can use alcohol, where you can drink it, who can sell it, but alcohol in itself is no different as a property, no more inherently dangerous than a pit bull. How do you overcome that rational, How do you overcome that rational basis argument?
The rational basis is the law accomplishing anything? Does the law prevent people from fighting or using these dogs for crime? There was testimony that the law is not does not accomplish what it's intended to do, and that maybe the law should be restructured.
But is it our role to judge the wisdom of a law? I believe that is not our role. It's back clear law that we're not to judge the wisdom of
right.
a public policy decision.
But this the public policy decision, obviously the court should not judge, but whether there's a rational basis, whether there's a way to enforce it, and we don't feel there is a rational basis, a way to enforce it.
Unlike alcohol, this is a complete ban of a certain animal, which would be equivalent to banning a certain type of alcohol because it might be more potent and more susceptible to abuse, and allowing all other types of alcohol to be consumed. One brand of alcohol, so to speak, the basis for doing that is equivalent to the basis, I believe, and unsustainable for this particular breed.
I agree, Your Honor, in that it may be at a certain college a choice of drinking a certain type of beer or a certain type of wine or whiskey, and because they're drinking that type of wine or whiskey, it's analogous to should you ban that because they're drinking that in excess? Should you ban pit bulls because people are using them for fighting?
Well, Mr. Zindorf, the municipal ordinance doesn't actually ban the breed, does it? I mean, I thought we were talking about you're limited to one, and if you have the pit bull, you are to also have the insurance. Isn't this at least more narrowly tailored so that it gets over the rational basis that we have to look at? You know, as I mentioned, I was concerned about overbreadth, but listening to what you're saying, it seems to me that we're not talking about a total ban on a breed, but a limitation so that these improper uses can be avoided.
Well, the practicalities, Your Honor, are that the municipal code uses the state definition of what's a vicious dog. There's a prima facie presumption that pit bulls are vicious, so therefore you need to have insurance, which may be because they're considered vicious. Many insurance companies would probably not insure many people. It's very difficult to get that insurance. Homeowners insurance is not difficult to get. If the state had a requirement like they do with the driver's license, if you drive, you must have auto insurance. If you own a dog, you must have insurance. But to have insurance for a vicious dog is much more difficult. Plus, what's the mechanism for showing that your dog is actually not vicious and therefore doesn't fit under this criteria of the municipal code? How can you attack the prima facie case?
Counsel, I did wonder about insurance. And when you read the ordinance and the statute, it talks about insurance, but I believe someplace it talks about vicious dog insurance. And as you indicate, it's one thing to go to your insurance agent and say, I need to have at least $100,000 of liability coverage on a homeowner's policy. It's probably another thing. I've never tried it. But I can imagine the response if I walked into an agent and said, I need to buy vicious dog insurance. Do you know, is that product even available?
Actually, the product is available. Some of my clients have gotten it, but it's extremely difficult. Most of my clients that have homeowners insurance, when they're notified that this is a pit bull, and they go to State Farm or Allstate, they then say, we won't carry you on this insurance. You need a special insurance. And most of these people cannot obtain the special insurance. Regular insurance, they can. Vicious dog insurance, very expensive and extremely difficult to obtain.
Thank you. I think your time's nearly up. 3 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hit it right on the numbers. Okay. Mr. Crumman, representing the amicus, and we'll give you a couple of minutes since you got squeezed down by your co-counsel taking up all the time.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, we believe the appellate court has asked the wrong question in its review of the case. The fact that pit bulls may not be inherently more dangerous than other breeds of dogs does not preclude the legislature from determining the use of these particular dogs has certain negative effects that it intends to regulate, no matter how imperfect the classification. The test.
Well, counsel, speaking of classification, it was asked previously, and I didn't get a satisfactory answer, is the definition of a pit bull. Is there the vagueness issue here is brought up in the appellate decision. What exactly is a pit bull?
Your Honor, as this court has undertaken in State v. Anderson, a pit bull is made up of certain physical and behavioral characteristics that this court has already stated are such that a person of ordinary intelligence would be required to understand what they're able to do under the law. Those physical characteristics could include a short, squatty body with developed shoulders, chest, and legs, a large, flat head, muscular neck, and protruding jaw, and other behavioral characteristics. In order to find that...
several people I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, not present company excluded. There's a lot of dogs that would fit that characteristic, and my question is that does it have to have all of those characteristics? Does it have to have some of those characteristics? If its parent had all those characteristics and it was bred with a poodle, would you have a 50% pit bull? Would that be permissible? Could it be in disguise, that this dog really has all these characteristics, but they're not readily available, but it's certainly or readily visible? I'm confused by the definition.
Well, first, to answer your question, Your Honor, the laws at issue are not breed-specific legislation. They're not meant to target the American Pit Bull Terrier or the American Staffordshire Terrier. Pit bulls are defined under the code and by this case in Anderson so that they're distinctive enough that an ordinary dog owner could know with reasonable effort that he or she owns a pit bull. And understanding that these characteristics shouldn't be considered in a vacuum, when an ordinary dog owner decides to purchase a dog, he or she usually engages in some sort of a preparatory process, including a decision as to what type of dog to acquire. And under 955.11 itself, the law creates an information process whereby the buyer of a dog, specifically a pit bull, is entitled to disclosure regarding the dog's breed. We agree that there's no formulaic definition of a pit bull. Pit bulls themselves, while not being a breed, are understood to be a subtype of dog. But all pit bulls and all dogs are of the same species. There wouldn't be a DNA test. So you look at the definitions that have been put forth by the court, by the law, and I think that I'm not sure it's a one drop of blood test. With your specific example, you asked whether a pit bull had been bred with a poodle, whether that the dogs in the litter would necessarily fall under the guise of 95.11 and 955.22. I believe that you would look at the animals themselves, and I think that if they exhibited the characteristics of pit bulls as defined by this court in Anderson, then I think owners would be put on notice with regards to their duties, with regards to restraint and ownership, and in the case of City of Toledo, with regards to the number of dogs that they could own under the City of Toledo.
Counsel, do you agree that this case is really about the appropriateness of defining a breed-specific being a vicious dog, and that Cowan and modifying or reversing Cowan is not implicated in this case?
Your Honor, while we don't believe that Cowan needs to be overruled in order to find these pit bull regulations are constitutional, to the extent that the court were to find that you would need to overrule Cowan in order to find these laws are constitutional, we would suggest that Cowan be overruled.
Has the legislature done anything to set up a procedure so that someone who is told you have a vicious dog has a process to contest that in?
Your Honor, I think that there's a misconception as to the process of whether the determination of whether a person has a vicious dog or a pit bull. There is no actual pretrial determination of viciousness or pretrial determination of whether
okay,
a person
that
has
wasn't
a pit
my question.
Bull.
My question was, has the legislature responded to Cowan with anything?
No, Your Honor, I'm not aware of any response with the legislature.
Well, we've left you have 5 minutes. I think that was generous, so appreciate your participation. The case is submitted, and we will take a brief recess.
Thank you, Your Honor.